You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to The Father's Quilt. I'm your host, Christina Doyle. How are you doing this week? How are you managing with Lent, brothers and sisters? Are you feeling that little pinch of, oh my gosh, I'm being tempted, you know, not to take that extra piece of chocolate or have some of those potato chips maybe that you decided that you weren't going to do? Or maybe it's something that is even more personal and much more important than that it might be something that's harboring in your heart that needs to be dealt with, and a perfect time to go to confession and talk to Father and have Father help you with it through prayer. And the absolving of sin is so rejuvenating. So I would really encourage you to go out and do that. Let's begin with a Hail Mary, shall we, before we begin? Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. A friend of mine said to me that once when he was on a retreat, he found one of his friends there that he didn't know was going to be there, and he asked him, you know, he said, you know, how are you? And the guy said to him, his friend said, well, you know, he says, there's still a little bit of devil in me. You know, it sounds funny, but it expresses the truth about all of us. There is still a little bit of the devil in us because we have not yet fully overcome sin. Jesus spent 40 days in the desert overcoming the devil, and Lent is a time for us to get rid of what bit of the devil remains in us by overcoming sin in our lives. Whenever we sin, we have forgotten who we are and what God has done for us. Remembering who we are and what God has done for us helps us to keep away from sin. So in Deuteronomy chapter 26, verses 5 to 9, I'll read it to you. But I'll just first say that it contains a creed in which the Old Testament Jews remembered who they were and what God had done for them by bringing them out of Egypt to Canaan. My father, it says, was a wandering Aramean who went down to Egypt. There he became a nation great, strong, and numerous. When the Egyptians maltreated and oppressed us, we cried to the Lord. He brought us out of Egypt, bringing us into this country. He gave us this land flowing with milk and honey. The Israelites sinned when they forgot what God had done for them. In fact, we could say that the great sin of the Old Testament was forgetting the greatest miracle of the Old Testament, the Exodus, right? And as a result, falling into sin. Whenever we sin, we forget the central belief of our creed that Jesus died and rose for us, you and me. Lent is a time when we reflect on the passion and death of Jesus so that by remembering, we may overcome sin. And when we celebrate, the central belief of our creed, the resurrection of Jesus during the Easter Vigil on Holy Saturday night, we will have died to sin and risen to new life with Jesus. Just as Jesus overcame Satan during the 40 days in the desert, we want to overcome Satan in our lives. We overcome Satan by putting God first in our lives in every single way. The three quotations from Deuteronomy cited by Jesus when talking with Satan in the Gospel of Luke chapter 4, the first 13 verses, it reminds us of putting God first in everything. Man does not live by bread alone. The full quotation is, not by bread alone does man live, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of the Lord. Next one is, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Listen, when we put God first in everything and live by the word of the Lord, instead of living from the bread of the world, then guess what? We fast from fear and we feast on faith. I just love this. It's actually an adaptation from a Lenten prayer by William Arthur Ward, W-A-R-D, Ward. A Lenten prayer by William Arthur Ward. So I thought I'd share this with you. Fast from fear, feast on faith. Fast from despair, feed on hope. Fast from depressing news, feed on prayer. Fast from discontent, feast on gratitude. Fast from anger and worry, feed on patience. Fast from negative thinking, feast on positive thinking. Fast from bitterness, feed on love and forgiveness. Fast from words that wound, feast on words that heal. Fast from gravity, feast on joy and humor. When we live on the bread of the world, my friends, by not putting God first, we sin and can never hope to be happy, because sin, you know what? It always leaves us guilty. The evil one wants you, he just want, what, I mean, what does the evil one want to do in this world? To steal, to kill, and lie. That's what it does. That's what it wants. That's its mandate. So if we don't put God first in everything we do in our lives, then we're going to fall into pit holes time and time again. In other words, you know, the words of the poem that I just quoted, sin brings us fear, despair, depressing news, discontent, anger, negative thinking, bitter words that wound. But when we overcome sin, then the words of the poem, we live on faith, we live on hope, we live on prayer, we live on gratitude, you know, being grateful for what even what little we have. But you have life, right? Patience, positive thinking, love and forgiveness, words that heal and that heal, joy, words that heal, there's joy and humor. You know, the words of the friend when they went on a retreat were all true. They're all true of all of us. There is still a bit of the devil in us. And during Lent, we remember Jesus in the desert overcoming Satan. And we too want to overcome Satan in our lives, so that when we celebrate the central belief of our creed, the resurrection of Jesus during the Easter Vigil, we will have died to sin and risen to new life with Jesus. Therefore, during Lent, we fast from fear and feast on faith, right? So, brothers and sisters, this is such a wonderful time to take stock, as I said before, and the whole journey of transformation. You know, as the priest put ashes on our head on Ash Wednesday. He said, remember, he might have said, remember that you are dust and to dust you shall return. Or in our parish, we said, repent and believe in the gospel. Repent and believe in the gospel. Whichever one the priest says, it is full of meaning. Remembering that we are dust and to dust we shall return reminds us, brothers and sisters, that the goal of life is literally out of this world. Our goal is heaven. Repent and believe in the gospel is also full of meaning, as it what it means, what Lent is all about. You know, the gospel of the first Sunday of Lent each year is an account of Jesus overcoming Satan's temptation in the desert. You know, 2 years ago, a few years ago, we listened to Matthew's account and so on. And then you might have listened to Mark's account. And maybe you listen this year to Luke's account. And next year, we begin the cycle again with Matthew's account. The temptations were attempts to deflect Jesus from his mission to save us. Attempts to turn Jesus from the very purpose of his incarnation, becoming human like us. Of course, Jesus did not yield to the temptations. Jesus and the Father were perfectly one. Everything that Jesus said and did came from the Father. Being so perfectly united with his Father, we could say that Jesus was consecrated to the Father. Twice in John's Gospel, Jesus refers to himself being consecrated to his Father in John chapter 10, chapter 36, verses 17. Jesus being consecrated to his Father means Jesus does only the will of his Father and is at one with his Father. We see this in Jesus overcoming Satan's temptations and above all in Jesus offering himself to his Father on Calvary for our salvation. Priests and religious are consecrated to God, but since around the time of St. Margaret Mary in the 1600s and her visions relating to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, consecration is viewed in a much wider way. And since then, it has been common for many people to consecrate themselves, their families, and their homes to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. It means being faithful about being Christian. I think we could say that it means surrendering our feelings and our desires to God's will, surrendering our mind, our will, our thoughts, and our heart to God, and surrendering our body to God's will. It means consciously and intentionally uniting ourselves with Jesus in living according to his will. Surely we could say that this is what Lent is all about, consciously and intentionally overcoming temptation like Jesus in our gospel, so that we can be faithful Christians. To put it another way, Lent is about consecrating ourselves to Jesus, or we could say, renewing our consecration to Jesus in our baptism. Jesus was consecrated to his Father, united to his Father. And during Lent, we want to consecrate ourselves to Jesus, uniting our heart with the heart of Jesus to do only God's will. Many people also consecrate themselves to Our Lady. They unite themselves with Our Lady as much as possible, giving themselves to her and offering her all their prayers and sacrifices so that she can use them for the benefit and salvation of those most in need, whom she knows best. In turn, we can expect Our Lady to intercede and protect us before her Son Jesus for us and bring us closer to Jesus. I would like to also say, by reading a consecration to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, which is associated with Saint Margaret Mary. And as I read this prayer of consecration to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, I invite you to follow along and make it your own prayer and your own wish and an expression of what Lent means for you. Think about that. What does Lent really mean for you, brothers and sisters? And here it is. I give myself and consecrate to the Sacred Heart of our Lord Jesus Christ, my person and my life, my actions, pains, and sufferings, so that I may be unwilling to make use of any part of my being other than to honor, love, and glorify the Sacred Heart. This is my unchanging purpose, namely, to be all His and to do all things for the love of Him, and at the same time, renouncing with all my heart whatever is displeasing to Him. I therefore take you, O Sacred Heart, to be the only object of my love, the guardian of my life, my assurance of salvation, the remedy of my weakness and inconstancy, the atonement for all the faults of my life, and my sure refuge at the hour of death. Be then, O Heart of goodness, my justification before God the Father, and turn away from me the strokes of His righteous anger. O Heart of love, I put all my confidence in you, for I fear everything from my own wickedness and frailty. But I hope for all things from your goodness and bounty. Remove from me all that can displease you or resist your holy will. Let your pure love imprint your image so deeply upon my heart that I shall never be able to forget you or to be separated from you. May I obtain from all your loving kindness the grace of having my name written in your heart. For in you I desire to place all my happiness and glory, living and dying, bound to you. Amen. Isn't that beautiful, brothers and sisters? So beautiful. So beautiful. I know that it isn't easy to deal with the different temptations and sins that we deal with, brothers and sisters, but it's so wonderful to, maybe many of you, have a devotion to the Sacred Heart. I've sort of lost my train of thought there. I think it's what they call is a senior moment, right? Right. So anyways, without, I thought I would share with you a little joke. All right. So it's called Repaint and Thin No More. Thin, T-H-I-N, and Thin No More. Jock, the painter, often would thin his paint so it would go further. So when the church decided to do some deferred maintenance, Jock was able to put in the low bid and got the job. As always, he thinned his paint way down with turpentine. One day while he was up on the scaffolding, the job almost finished, he heard a horrendous clap of thunder and the sky opened. The downpour washed the thinned paint off the church and knocked Jock off his scaffold and onto the lawn among the gravestones and puddles of thinned and worthless paint. Jock knew this was a warning from the Almighty, so he got on his knees and cried, "Oh God, forgive me, what should I do?" And from the thunder, a mighty voice, "Repaint, repaint, and thin no more." wah, wah. Can I hear that? Yeah, wah, wah. I thought it was kind of cute. I don't know. Maybe my taste in jokes is a little weak, I guess. You'll have to forgive me. But so, my friends, here we are, almost through the middle of Lent, and a lot to think about during this season. But it's a beautiful month, a beautiful time. You know, our modern Western world has become so deaf to the words of Jesus, as deaf as the man in the gospel, you know, in the gospel where Jesus heals the man who's deaf, and Jesus' ministries fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. So the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf unsealed, in Isaiah 35, right? But it's not a physical deafness. It is a spiritual deafness caused by sin. We've become so used to sin that we take it as normal, and we become deafened and blinded to Jesus and his call to us. St. Pope John Paul II, before he left Ireland on October the 1st, 1979, said in Limerick, in prophetic words that are more and more relevant as the years go by. And what does he say? He said this: Ireland must choose. You, the present generation of Irish people, must decide. Your choice must be clear and your decision firm. Let the voice of your forefathers who suffered so much to maintain their faith in Christ and thus to preserve Ireland's soul resound today in your ears through the voice of the Pope, which, when he repeats the words of Christ, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his life? What would it profit Ireland to go the easy way of the world and suffer the loss of her own soul? Your country seems in a sense to be living again the temptations of Christ. Ireland is being asked to prefer the kingdoms of the world and their splendor to the kingdom of God. Satan, the tempter, the adversary of Christ, will use all his might and all his deceptions to win Ireland for the way of the world. What a victory he would gain. What a blow he would inflict on the body of Christ in the world if he could seduce Irish men and women away from Christ. Now is the time of testing for Ireland, this generation once more a generation of decision. Well, that was taken by a homily from St. Pope John Paul II on Monday, October the 1st, 1979. It doesn't seem that we are listening to the words of the Pope. We are going the way of the world and are becoming deaf to the words of Jesus. We suffer and are diminished through sin, but Jesus has good news for us, that our lives are a gift, carefully guarded in the hands of our Father. And the Pope made the same point to young people in Galway, Ireland, on September 30th, right? So he said, how many young people have already warped their conscience and have substituted the true joy of life with drugs, sex, alcohol, vandalism, and the empty pursuit of mere material possessions? Something else is needed, something that you will find only in Christ, for he alone is the measure in the scale that you must use to evaluate your own life. In Christ, you will discover the true greatness of your own humanity. He will make you understand your own dignity as human beings, created to the image and likeness of God. Christ has the answers to your questions and the key to history. He has the power to uplift hearts. He keeps calling you. He keeps inviting you. He who is the way and the truth and the life. Let us all answer, brothers and sisters, the answer of the call of Jesus, the way and the truth and the life. May our eyes become opened to Jesus and our ears unsealed to his good news. May we who suffer because our lives are diminished through sin hear the good news of God's concern for us and know for certain that our lives are a gift carefully guarded in the hands of our Father. And I've said it so many times, time and time again, brothers and sisters, you have a purpose on this earth. No one is brought here by accident. I can't stand it when I hear that and said, well, when I was born, I was the accident. I hate that, because really, every one of us is born of God. Every one of us has a reason to be here. We have a purpose, and our life is valuable. Your life is important. You must stay on this earth and fulfill God's will for you by prayer, asking God to come into your heart. Go to confession. Don't worry. God loves you. He's forgiven you, but he wants you to out loud acknowledge your sins. You know, in Mark chapter 7, 31 to 37, there was a man in the gospel there who was healed by Jesus, had his ears and mouth blessed by Jesus. And like that man in the gospel, we too met Jesus and had our ears and mouth blessed by Jesus when the priest baptized us. And after the water was poured on our head and we were baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, four actions followed, symbolizing that transformation that had just taken place in our baptism. We were anointed with the sacred oil of chrism on the crown of our head, as Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit at his baptism. We were clothed with the white garment, an outward sign of our Christian dignity. Our baptismal candle was lit from the Easter Paschal candle, showing that we had just been enlightened by Jesus. And fourthly, as Jesus did to the man in today in the gospel, the priest blessed our ears and mouth. And this is the prayer now. May the Lord Jesus, who made the deaf to hear and the mute to speak, grant that you may soon receive his word with your ears and profess the faith with your lips into the glory and praise of God the Father. Brothers and sisters, our ears were blessed in baptism to receive the word of God. Our ears were blessed to allow God to communicate with us. Our ears were blessed because they are a doorway through which God enters us with his word. A door has a handle on the inside. You have to open the door to allow someone in. It is the same with allowing God in. We have to open the door to allow God in. God doesn't force his way into our lives because God has given us free will, free choice, freedom. If we do not allow God into our lives, we will be deaf to God. And in some ways, our society and culture seem deaf to God. So, brothers and sisters, be opened. And with that, I bid you goodbye and thank you so much for being with me during this Lenten season. Bye for now.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day. If I had